a maxim in the spiritual life that grace perfects nature. It never destroys it. Grace doesn't turn us into robots so that we all become exactly like one another. By nature, we're all so different. And grace is certainly not going to make us all identical. God has given us, you might call it a beautiful garden of souls. We all have our natural tendencies to good and to bad as well. Grace will perfect the good, and it will destroy the bad. It will help us to overcome all of the bad so that we become the souls that our Lord has created us to be. Now, as we're in this octave of the Ascension and all of our thoughts turn towards heaven and paradise, where joy we hope with a true, firm Christian hope, we hope to one day be, as our minds are there, we think not only of our Lord, but we think of all of the saints, the wonderful variety of saints. We have our serious saints, the saints who were reformers. St. Charles Borromeo was one of those, melancholic by temperament, very serious, but was very good when it came time to reforming the church and the clergy. He was your best bet. Then you had, of course, your timid saints. Timothy, who was the disciple of St. Paul, he was actually very timid by nature, but by grace became very bold and a very great preacher. And then you had your St. Paul types, and you had your St. Peters, who, before grace really grabbed hold of them, they'd fall through weakness, but then they're quick to repent. And you have your saints with their quirks, like a St. Jerome, who would easily fall into fits of a lack of charity. He was quick in speech. And oftentimes, perhaps it was before he even thought of it, he would let forth a bitter insult towards someone else. And then, of course, he would come back and do penance for it by beating his breast with a sharp stone. And they say that, I've told you before, they say if it weren't for the sharp stone, St. Jerome perhaps never would have become a saint. But there you have it, he did. And you have your sweet saints, like the little flower, and you have your meek saints, and you have your patient ones. You have your very irascible saints. Saint Ignatius Loyola was very irascible by nature, but when grace took over, he became so meek that he was considered to be phlegmatic, an easygoing soul. So we have all of these saints with all of their talents, some of them being preachers, others writers, others simply were hermits, never to be seen by men, but only heard by the angels and by God. There's this lovely variety. Today we have a very, very unique saint, Saint Philip Neri. And he was, you might say, as I was doing my reading for this, if the saints were a deck of cards and each of them was a different one, Saint Philip Neri would be the joker, because he had such a wonderful sense of humor. His characteristic virtue was that of joy. There's so much to be said for him. He truly was a practical joker. Even before dignitaries and cardinals and priests and everything else, he was truly a practical joker. But you'll understand part of why he was that way as we go along. He was a priest at 35 or 36 years of age. He was ordained a priest through obedience. He was very humble. He didn't want to accept it, but he did so out of obedience and became one of the great priests in Italy. He was on fire with the love of God, so much so that it was around the Feast of Pentecost, and he saw a globe of fire come down and into his mouth and down into his heart, and all of a sudden, his heart enlarged, and it broke a number of his ribs, so that the wound never healed, but he never experienced pain after that. And oftentimes when he went into these fits of the love of God, he would have such violent palpitations of the heart that it would shake the furniture in the rooms where he was. And if he were to lie down on a bed on his back, they actually said they were so violent that they would just propel him right out of the bed so that he couldn't lie flat on his back. And he always joked with the doctors and hoped that they could one day find a cure to his sickness. But he knew they couldn't because it was a supernatural occurrence. So that he had to, I think the story was too, because he felt such warmth from the fires of the love of God, that in those days the priest was obliged to wear a surplice as he heard confessions. And he would get so hot that he had to get a dispensation not to wear the surplice in there. And he would leave a couple of buttons open on his cassock because of the warmth of divine love that was in his soul. He worked many miracles as well, one of which was the raising to life of a young man, a prince, I believe it was. So the story summarized is this, that the prince had just died, and his family members were all around, of course, in tears, and they called St. Philip Neri to come and see him. And he raised the young man to life, and the prince looked at him and said, "All I wanted was to go to confession." And so everyone left the room, and he heard the prince's confession. And it says that all of a sudden, his whole countenance, his whole face was no longer sickly. It was as if he were completely healed. And St. Philip looked at the young man and asked him very seriously, "Would you like to stay among the living now, or would you like to die? The young man had lost his mother and his sister previously. And he says, "Oh no, I would really prefer to die and go to heaven now so that I can be with my mother and my sister." And very peacefully then, he died, and died in the state of sanctifying grace. So many miracles like that. And there are some other interesting anecdotes about him. He was a spiritual director to young men. He formed his apostolate around it. He was sort of like a St. John Bosco type, actually. He formed an oratory with young men and often did spiritual direction with them. And many times he would use unconventional methods of forming the souls of the young men. For instance, there was once a young man that was inclined to vanity, maybe the seeking of attention in his piety or whatever. And so this young man came to him and asked him, "Father, do you think it would be a good penance for me to wear the hair shirt?" Well, you all know what the hair shirt is. It's with camel's hair or some other animal's fur, and you put it on against your skin and wear it like a shirt, and it's really uncomfortable and itchy. And that's the point of wearing it, is for that penance. And St. Philip Neri looked at him and said, "For you, young man, it is only beneficial if you wear it outside of your clothes." And that was his way of curing the young man's vanity, so that everyone could see the hair shirt, but at the same time it wasn't a hidden thing for him, which might lead him into temptations of vanity. Then there were other things that he did. He founded the Roman Congregation of the Oratory, and his key to success, he said, was that he used humor as a medicine for the souls, to lead souls to God. He would oftentimes go around, you know, sometimes out of humility too. People were all over the place calling him saint, that he was a saint, and he would have nothing of it. He didn't want to be known as a saint. No saint ever does. But he would go around with half of his beard shaved off, and this part still there, just to humiliate himself. Other times he would do humorous dances in public. And other times he would, for penances that he would give the young men, he would make them sometimes go out and make fools of themselves in public. Good thing that he's not your confessor. You might sometimes shy away from going to the confessional then, but he did all sorts of things. And he would, when dignitaries would come to visit him, he would make them wait for a while. And then when he was finally able to come out, he would get his servant or one of the younger clergymen to read jokes from a joke book right there in front of the dignitaries or the cardinals who came with it in mind. St. Philip is a saint. He is a saintly man. And so he would have them read these books in front of the dignitaries, and St. Philip would just laugh boisterously. And the people would walk away shaking their heads, have no idea what is going on with this man they call a saint. He would kick his cardinal's hat. This shows his humility and how he despised dignities and honors. He would kick his cardinal's hat or beretta around as if it were a soccer ball. But Philip, more than anyone else, he used jokes to lead others to heaven, to God. But Philip, more than anyone else, needed the jokes for himself. The reason was that the love of God, remember the broken ribs and the warmth from his heart? The love of God consumed him so deeply, so very deeply, that in order to concentrate before offering his Mass, St. Philip would have to hear jokes or read funny anecdotes as his preparation for Holy Mass. That is how he prepared. Reason being that he was so totally absorbed in the love of God that if he were there offering Mass in that state, he would go into ecstasy, he would begin levitating, and it said that the acolytes could leave when he started that, they could leave for an hour at a time and come back to serve the rest of his Mass. And that's how long it took for him to come back to himself. So in order to prevent that, he would read joke books to keep him more balanced on earth. And it's such an interesting saint. But you see that this joy of his was rooted in his love for God. It truly was. And those who serve God, just as St. Philip Neri did, they'll always have their sorrows. But as long as our joy is rooted in the love of God, then we have everything. And this joy, though, one last thing of him, he used, as I said, as a tool to get others to do good. And so as he would be out in the streets talking, he was very engaging, had a very lively personality. And as he would sort of pull people in and engage them, they wouldn't want to leave after that. Then all of a sudden he would just look at them seriously and say, "Well, brothers, when shall we begin to do good?" And they would always follow him. As long as he led, they would follow. And so often he would turn their good intentions into good actions. They would go and visit the sick or pray in the seven churches in Rome, any sort of pious action that would lead them to God. And that was his tool, his holy joy that he used to bring souls to God. And the lesson is this: we're all going to be different saints, but there is one thing that you can say of every saint, that he was not sad. He might have had sadness in his life, but they were all filled with a deep, not necessarily a sensible joy, but a deep joy that comes to those who serve God, who wish to serve them all their life long. At times when you become sad, always remember, first, the first remedy is what St. James said. Are you sad? Pray. That is your first remedy to any sort of sadness or depression. But then use what God has given us in nature too. Jokes, laughter, a smile. And if God has blessed you with someone in your life that is rather humorous, well, use that to your advantage too, to keep yourself joyful. Because as they say, and this is another maxim, and I'll close the sermon with this thought, another maxim in the spiritual life is that cheerfulness is one of the chief means of advancing in holiness. Those who are more cheerful will advance more quickly. Always remember that. And let us take St. Philip Neri and Our Lady of the Smile as well as our patrons as we try to cultivate this holy joy during the rest of the Paschal season. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.